is one of those books that you get bogged down if you're going to read through the Bible and you see all of the names in the beginning of the book of Chronicles. You don't want to go through those names. There's about 12 chapters in names, I think, right? And since most of us can't pronounce those names, we just kind of fold it up and put it away at that point. To me, Leviticus sometimes gets like that too, doesn't it? You kind of get bogged down in Leviticus. Let's pray, and then we're going to open God's Word together to this particular chapter. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for what you're going to do in us and through us. We pray that as we look at your Word today, that we would be doers of it and not just hearers, and that as we focus on fathers, that we would understand that this is really a journey and not a destination. Please help us to be good dads and good grandfathers and good men that would lead our families and lead those that you've put in under our charge, and that we would reflect your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, we're going to continue talking a bit about Solomon and some of the information that that David gave Solomon. I want to continue that next week. The 6th and the 13th of July, I'm going to be speaking on same-sex marriage because of the issues that are going on in our state today. I want you to be alert to what's going on there and what our biblical response should be. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. Many of you know Brian McIntyre. Brian and his wife Debbie serve in Ghana. And many of you were here for the object lesson that he gave when he spoke here a number of months ago. How many of you remember that? Okay, it was the rope. Now does that make sense? Yeah, okay, you remember that. What was the point of that? Somebody summarize that in a sentence. This is a little bit more interactive than we normally are. What was the point of that rope and the mark? Make every day count, because eternity is long and what? Life is short. And it's very important that we invest our lives in the right things because of the length of eternity. Thank you. So if life is short and eternity is long, we need to invest in the long-haul things now. It's extremely important. How do we use the short time to affect people's lives so that they can enjoy the long haul of eternity with us? You know, one of the greatest and most significant investments a man can make is in the life of his family, the wife and children. And with most families, in fact, with most families, we also see biblical characters that are doing things that are right and doing things that are wrong. Anybody read through the Bible, you can see that. Do we always do everything right? No, we do things wrong too. So we see that biblically, we see it practically. You know, God tells us a few times in the New Testament that the things were written in the Old Testament were written for our examples. They are to instruct us on how to live. We want to avoid the bad examples. We want to follow the good examples. So it's important that we have those things in mind and that we read the Old Testament from time to time and gain that benefit from the Old Testament. King Solomon uses the phrase, "my son," at least 10 times in the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. He directly addresses his sons, and he says, pay attention to these things. And we actually read one of those sections this morning in Proverbs chapter 3. Sometime before he died, King David had directions for his people. He got them together, and he also had some very specific directions to Solomon. And even though the sermon this morning, I think, was called Advice to Dads or Father's Directions, this is really more of a charge. It's more of a very specific direction, and we'll go there now. First Chronicles chapter 28, and we'll look at verses 1 through 11, and I'd like to make 3 observations about David's directions to Solomon. Notice, first of all, the crowd. This isn't one of the 3, but I'll get to that. I want to put the context together first. David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the commanders of the divisions that served the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the overseers of all the property and livestock belonging to the king, and his sons with the officials and the mighty men of the valiant, and all, even the valiant men. David gets this huge crowd together. That sounds like a lot of people. I mean, it's the military people. It's the household staff of the palace. It's his sons. It's a large group. And David addresses them first. Look at what he says. King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, brethren, my people. I had intended to build a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the footstool of our God, so I had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you're a man of war and have shed much blood.'" David's desire was to build a temple for God. The children of Israel had lived a long time in their land, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, which was God's dwelling place, at least the physical representation of that. And where was it? It was in the tabernacle, that tent that Moses had built back in the wilderness. And David says it's time for God to have a permanent place. And he wanted to build the temple. But God chose Solomon to do that. And David says that very clearly. And now in verse 8, I'm going to skip ahead there. He says this to all of the people. He says, "So now in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, in order that you may possess the good land and give it to your sons after you forever." He says, be careful, guys. You need to pay attention to this. You need to be obedient to the law of the Lord. The purpose isn't just for you to have a good life. The purpose is for you to enjoy this good land, but it is to do what? Pass it on to the next generation. That is an important thing. We've talked about it before, that Christianity is always one generation away from extinction. If we don't pass our faith on to our children and to people after us, where does it go? It just shrivels up and dies. It is crucial that we have that attitude, especially in our family. And now in verses 8 to 11, in the company of everybody listening, David gives directions to to his son Solomon. And here are the three observations. The first one is in verse 9. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father." Let's stop there a minute. This sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? When David says, "Know the God of your father," what's he saying? You need to have a personal relationship with Yahweh, the God of Israel. That's my God, the one that I've loved, I've served, I've worshipped all these years. That is so important. Years ago, I heard the phrase that God has no grandchildren. What do you think? You know what it means? We don't go to heaven by somebody else's coattails. It's not, my children don't have a relationship with God because of me. They have to have a relationship with God because of them, and a direct relationship. That's what's important. What does John 1:12 say? "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the authority to become children of God." There's that direct relationship. So when David is telling Solomon, "You need to know my God. I want you to have a personal relationship with this God. He is the one that has been meaningful in my life. He is the one that took me from shepherding the sheep in the field to being king. And we have had a lot of interaction with each other over the years." Read the Psalms, you'll see. Read the other books of the Old Testament, you'll see David's interaction. Love him, serve him. We'll come to that in just a minute. You know what I pray for you? And I do. You know, some of my prayers are, "God, would you yank that person's chain? Would you do something in their life that is unmistakably you so they don't miss it?" I don't know what you're praying for me, but you can pray that too. Yank Paul's chain. Get his attention. I do that for you. That's what we need to do for our sons and our daughters and our friends if they're walking with the Lord. And if they're not walking with the Lord, we want them to know God by their own experience. Isn't there a big difference between knowing about somebody and knowing somebody personally? Think of somebody that you know about, and then think about somebody that you know personally. There's a big difference, isn't there? I mean, you've heard of various sports figures. Anybody know Aaron Rodgers? You've heard about him. Anybody friends with him? Okay, can't get the autograph your way then from you. Okay, you understand the point. When we know somebody personally and there is interaction on a regular basis and we can call that person our friend and our confidant, that's a big difference than not having that relationship. And that's what we want to have with God. Second observation, David says, not only know the God of your father. I lost my place here. Oh, verse 9. Serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, because the Lord searches all the hearts and he understands the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he'll let you find him, but if you forsake him, he'll reject you forever. Now, that doesn't sound real good. Remember, this is Old Testament, and I believe that this is very similar warning that Solomon got from David in regard to kingship. God doesn't reject us in our salvation, but he certainly took Saul off the throne and rejected Saul because of Saul's disobedience. And I believe that's what David was communicating here. God does not reject us if we are truly saved, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. And even in the Old Testament, they did have a sense of eternal security and the assurance of their salvation. But kingship is very different. And David is warning Solomon here, if you go astray, if you forsake the Lord, he will take you off the throne, and it will be permanent, Solomon. And we'll catch up with that another time as to the results. But you know the story. But he says, serve him with a whole heart and undivided loyalty. That's what he's talking about. And with a willing mind, don't be coerced or made to do it. You know, there's a big difference in our attitude and our motivation if we are coerced or if we're made to do something and we have to be dragged, kicking and screaming. Isn't a good question to ask one another, how does a person serve God? Does serving God mean you have to be a pastor, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, you know, something like that? Or can you serve God every day of the week? I think it's an everyday type of thing. You know, that word serve and worship are very similar, and I don't think it's this word that is translated by both of them, but David does say serve God. And how do you serve God? How would Solomon serve God? He didn't act as the priest, he acted as the king. He had the responsibility of leading his nation. Guys, we have a responsibility in that serving God. We would do that, serve God by leading our families, by loving our wives, by instructing our children, all the things that are in the scripture. You know, the world system is going to attempt to divide our loyalty to God in every way possible. And sometimes we get the idea that serving God is drudgery. That's not the case at all. It is exciting. Yes, there may be menial tasks. Yes, it may be hard. Yes, you may sweat and have blood and tears, etc. and so on. But it is God who is going to be getting the glory. He will stretch us in every way. Remember what his purpose is for us? It is to make us Christ-like. And then in verse 10, he gives the directions and says, consider now, pay attention. God has chosen you to build a house for his sanctuary. Be courageous, be strong, and act. Don't put it off. Get started. Next week, as we continue this, I'm going to talk about being strong. That's kind of one of those nebulous phrases. Why do we see in the Bible this phrase over and over again, be strong? What does that amount to? We're going to talk about that next week. But here he says, be strong, be courageous, and act. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. How often do you hear somebody say, after I graduate, after the holidays, after the summer, after the kids are back in school? And, you know, we can just go on and on and on of the things after this and after that and after that, and pretty soon we never get it done because we really didn't plan to act. So this is one of the things that David told Solomon, get it done. So we're talking about King David giving directions to an adult son, Solomon. Often when we think of terms of parenting, we think of parenting children, and, you know, the children are small, and, yeah, they grow up. And But here's a man who's giving directions to his adult son. Here's the long-haul relationship, and it's crucial. Yeah, you really have to begin when the children are young. Otherwise, you're not going to get it in at all. No one of us here are charged with building the temple for the Lord. So what do we as dads communicate to our children while our children are growing up? I selected a group of men, and I have eight men. Some are going to be sharing with us via video because they're not public speakers, but they'll talk to a camera and me. And the other four guys are going to share live. They'll come up here and talk because those guys are capable of doing that. But I want to show you this video clip, and I want you to pay very close attention to what are the common elements between what these men say about how they communicated things to their children. So please look at listen to that very carefully, and there will be a quiz afterwards. We will interact with that a little bit again, just to make sure that you got it. So, Vivian, if you would hit the buttons, and we'll watch this. Okay, we're visiting with Ben Hur, and Ben, tell us a couple things that were important to teach your children as they were growing up.
Well, you know, I didn't get saved until my kids were teenagers, and I worked a lot. I did a couple jobs here and there, and one of the things the Bible says, bring up a child the way he should go, and he won't depart from it. I think that's very important. Another thing that I learned at a seminar one time was don't make promises you don't fulfill. I mean, like, you might tell your kid, well, tonight, maybe I'll take you fishing tonight, and you don't do it. You do that a few times, your kid does not trust you anymore. Don't do that. That's another important thing. And then I think making your kids attend a church is very important, whether they like it or not. Because and they may depart from that for a while, but generally they'll come back. All of my kids got saved one way or another, and I think that was because, you know, I didn't all go to church either. At first I did, and then I didn't, and then I did, you know, but then I got saved, and then I did a lot of preaching to them. I don't know if it was good or bad, but anyway, they did all come around later, it's amazing what happened. And she was going to be a nurse, but she didn't like that, so she decided to go into the mission. And so she did go to the mission, and now she went down on the field with her husband, and they had quite a few kids, and most of all those are in the mission today. Mm-hmm. You know, just was all through this thing of bringing them up.
Yeah.
So. The more you can do with your kids, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Be an example.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe wasn't too good of an example first, but mm-hmm. And I got saved, and I did a lot of preaching.
Yeah.
And this, and
mm-hmm.
You got to be careful about that one too. But
yeah, good.
Well, that's about all I can say.
Good. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for coming by, Scott. Let's
Welcome.
See what you have to share with us today about things that you wanted to communicate with your children.
Well, the best thing a father can do for his children is to love his wife. Mm-hmm. And or respect the mother of his children if he's not married.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us no matter what. And I love my wife and children the best I can. And I do things with my children, even now that they're growing up, and help them out, and take care of them, take care of their car, ask their opinion, and try with the sarcasm, try to lay off that, and ask for their opinion. And they often bring up when they were little and reminisce about the camping and fun things like that, 4-H and growing up. And I pray for them as they go on their lives, and I compare it with the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10, you know, how he prayed to God to extend my land and my future and as I go forward, and I pray to God for their future and to follow,
mm-hmm.
and that they provide and that they follow in God's footsteps.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Anything else?
That's all.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So we have Jerry Lake with us this afternoon. Jerry, what did you share with your kids? And just fill us in on what you have for us.
Okay. Well, I cheated a little bit, and I did ask my four children.
Good idea. I would do that, too.
What their perception was of my abilities as a father, and two of them responded, so I got a 50% participation rate. Probably the common theme was the time I spent with them, even though if I have any regrets, it's that I worked too much and did not spend enough time with them looking back. But you know, when we did spend time together, you know, I was a fun dad to play with, and we did a lot of things together, and I tried to model my life. I think you can say what you want, but your life is modeled through your actions, how you treat your wife and your kids, trying not to get angry, being patient, the value of hard work, commitment, loyalty, sacrifice. A lot of times, as a father, there's things that you maybe would like that you can't have because you have to sacrifice that for your family. Hospitality and generosity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, my wife is very good at prompting her husband for those things, but to model that to our kids, having a lot of people in our homes so they could be exposed to missionaries and other people, mm-hmm. and I think that was valuable in their lives also. Not allowing little things to creep into your life, little sins to creep into your life that become a major problem later in life, be it pornography, alcoholism, I'm a big cyclist now. I was not that way in raising my kids when they were younger, because that probably would have been an issue, where you allow something to take control of your life, and other things having a lesser importance. So, that commitment to family, especially when the kids are smaller and at home,
mm-hmm.
is important. And I try to do that, when I get together with my two grandsons, that we spend a lot of time together, we play together a lot. And you really, that's how they get to know you. We mm-hmm. do things together, and they can see how you respond to situations that you run into. And don't always respond correctly, of course, but they see that more in your actions and what you say as you interact with others. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess that would be it.
Great. Thanks, Jerry. This is Greg Stauffer again, and he's going to share with us some things that he would share with his sons or did share with his sons. So, Greg. Couple things.
Four things that I was asked to share that Suzanne and I impressed on the boys as they were growing up. Number one and most importantly was their personal salvation through God, through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. To us, that was the most important, and we were thankful that the boys accepted Christ at an early age. However, in response to that, we had asked that they pursue a relationship on a deeper level with God, and we did that off of the principle that when they're sitting down, when they're rising up, they should be talking about God. And so you can only imagine some of the wonderful conversations we had around the dinner table a lot of evenings concerning spiritual matters. Thirdly, were things Suzanne and I modeled for the boys. And first and foremost, we encouraged them, as it says in Hebrews 10:25, that they would be not excluding themselves from fellowship and from worship in a local body of believers. So, men, look at me. When I say this, it means that you have to model this as well. Unless you are in bed dying or out of town, you're to be taking them to church on a Sunday morning at the very least. And so that's what Suzanne and I did. If you ever want to talk to me about it, I went to church many mornings very, very tired because I worked third shift. But that was something that served them well. And lastly, we wanted them to have a proper model of what a good marriage looked like. And for Suzanne and I, we had to really think and consider our daily actions, right down to admitting and asking for forgiveness many times when we were at fault, not only with each other but with them. And so those were the four things. It took a lot of leadership on our part, a lot of effort, but it served them well.
Amen to that. Thanks, Greg. You can talk to me about the amateurness of the video afterwards. Okay. You know, I've talked to you once before, or in fact many times before, of how great a treasure we have here at Grace Bible Church. The treasure is you because of your stories and what God has taught you over the years. I've asked a few other guys to share with us, and Dave Harmeling, would you come and share something? And let me get this moved over here so that you can... Thank you. Got it?
Well, a week or two ago, Pastor Paul asked for a few fathers of adult children to voluntarily speak about three or four biblical principles that we felt important to teach our children about life, in general or as a believer. I admit that I previously hadn't thought about what core principles, what my core principles were, or how I had taught them to my children. However, after giving this some more thought, and with some wifely input, of course, I realized I had instructed my five sons in many of the same principles that I had been instructed by my father and my mother. This was also true of my wife's upbringing. As the head of our family, I realized I wasn't alone in this teaching process. This was a team effort. And I'm very thankful that my life's partner and I agreed on the basic principles of discipline, and if there was a disagreement, we at least maintained a united front. Mm-hmm. We felt this was very important. So with that background, I'll tell you a few principles we taught our sons. Prayer before meals was, we felt, very important. And then reading a portion of the Bible, or scripture, or like the booklets that you find, you know, Our Daily Bread and this type of thing, after meals, and then having a closing prayer. And oftentimes, as our children grew older, that taught our children also to offer their own individual prayer as well. And this was, of course, as they developed at a older, different age. Ultimately, we are teaching them obedience to God. Parents are to be respected and obeyed. As you can tell, I was a disciplinarian, I guess, just by those words. If not, there will be consequences and an appropriate punishment administered. We taught each individual that they were responsible for their actions. This is biblical. You leave a trail, whether good or bad, and will be rewarded or punished depending upon that action. This expectation also applies and includes elders, teachers, and those in authority over you. Always be truthful and honest in all your relationships with others. Lying is unacceptable, and punishment will follow. Lying is a sin, and God knows everything we do. Have a continual God awareness. You develop a reputation. So keep your promises. Be a person of integrity. A good reputation is a wonderful asset. We encourage them to be hardworking and stressed that work can be both rewarding and fun. Always do your best. Go beyond what's expected of you by your employer. I realize these are very brief, but those are basic things that we try to teach our children. We try to be an example to that end. Thank you.
I think our dads must have read the same book. Jim Archer, would you come and share some things as well? Appreciate that, Dave. If you want the rest of the story, you can ask Kevin.
First of all, Paul, I want to say thanks for the opportunity to do this. In a way, this is kind of a struggle in a sense that you have to reflect upon what you did raising your children. It's not always easy to do that. These are a few that I picked out. Some of you guys have heard. Jerry Likesay, he conferred with one of his, or a couple of his children. I did the same thing just to get a perspective from their side of it. I'll start with that one. I got this one from, I was going to do like the old Dragnet thing and say, I'll give you false names for my kids to protect the innocent, but one of them was, and basically I remember this when I was in sales, talked about being successful in life. And one of the guys that really coined a good slogan that I used in our household was never be too proud of what you've achieved. Remember, the higher up the ladder you go, the more your rear end is exposed. And I called it as I saw it. The other thing was, kids, don't expect that the world owes you a living, okay? God will provide all your needs in His timing, and so often He will give you much more than what you really wanted to start with. If you seek Him first, okay, He knows your needs, and He'll bless you in a way that you can't believe, okay? And then give Him the praise for that. Disappointment in men. If you were to be on this earth long enough and could interact with every human being, you would find that somewhere along the line, they would disappoint you, let you down, vice versa. Remember that only Jesus Christ will never, ever disappoint us. We have to remember Ephesians 6. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Okay? And like Dave Harmeling said, we taught a lot of principles about the consequences for sin. If there was something that went on in their life, I can remember one in particular. We went to a movie. One of the boys, they were each given their own money to get in. One of them fibbed about, or lied. I said, let's not use the word fib. He lied. Told us later on that he tricked the guy into believing he was younger than he was and got in cheaper. We made him actually go back to the theater and square it up. Wasn't something he really wanted to do, but as Barney Fife used to say, nip it in the bud, you know. Start when they're young. I've heard a couple other fathers say the same thing. Please show your children that you love your wife. There's always going to be disagreements in the home, but those children need to see that you love your wife. And if I had to do anything a little differently, I would say I would encourage, my children were 6, 7 years old when we became believers. Came out of a Catholic background, only knew prayers like, bless us, O Lord, and these, like, you know. So we had to learn how to pray, and as time went on, we understood that prayer was so important, and we tried to teach them But I would say I would do that a lot more if I had to do it over. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jim. And Gary Neighbors going to share with us too. Well, I've appreciated this so far, Gary.
Hi, everybody. First of all, as a parent, I'd like to say that when I got the message from Paul to do this, we were headed up north for a Father's Day celebration. And got a phone call. I got four boys, by the way. One in Alaska, and the other three are here. And the three and a granddaughter and my father-in-law were going to get together up north for a Father's Day celebration. And we're headed up there. And I get a call from one of my sons. Dad, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it. He had a fight, a verbal fight, pretty big fight again with his brother, like another time. And this is on Father's Day, and I was fit to be tied in the knots instead. You know, a lot of fathers get ties for Father's Day, and they got me going crazy. So the last time they had a big fight was Mother's Day.
Great.
I don't know what the Lord's trying to tell us there, but anyway, we're headed up north, and we're going to have this get-together. And when I got the email from Pastor, first verse that came to my mind almost immediately was Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I always thought that meant that, well, you teach your kids, you provide a good example for them, you homeschool, you do the things the Lord has put on your heart to do, take them to church every Sunday, and they're going to grow up and be spiritually sound, missionary, maybe they'll be a pastor, but it doesn't always turn out that way. So then I thought, well, Lord, when they're old, I'm old. Maybe I just got to wait a little longer. And I think though, as I thought about that passage, that God, He really wants us to keep praying for our kids. He wants us to love our kids no matter what shape, what condition they're in. Our kids are our kids for our whole lives. They never stop being our kids. And I thought about that verse some more, and I thought about, you know what? Maybe it's encouraging your kids in what they can do best. And you, like for instance, trades. Maybe they're good with their hands. Like one of my boys is good with his hands and welding. Well, encourage them in that, and encourage them in the things that that they're good at, and they'll grow up and follow those things because of the encouragement you gave them. And so encourage them with the gifts that God's given them. And the next verse that came into my mind was Ephesians 6:4. And when you father And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a big one for me because I just hate it when I see a dad tease their kids or belittle them or make fun of them in public. You got to respect your kids. You got to be good to your kids. Don't do that, Dad. And I also think that discipline, you know, don't let that be a knee-jerk thing. You might be really mad, but take the time to talk it over with your wife and decide what kind of a discipline you're going to give your kids. And I would also say, maybe for a homework assignment when you get home or whatever, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the whole chapter. That's a love chapter. Never, never, no matter what happens. Your kids might not grow up to be missionaries. They might not grow up to be what you expect out of life. But God has plans, And he loves your kids more than you ever possibly can love them. Never, never yourself stop loving your kids. Love them through these difficult situations. Pray for those kids. And pray and pray and pray. Maybe when they don't turn out the way you think, that's an opportunity to get closer to God. And Colossians 3:21 repeats Ephesians 6:4. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Dads, got to be important. Don't provoke your kids. And last of all, and here's the one that I really struggled with as a dad, and I suppose a lot of dads probably do struggle with this one. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I had a real hard time with this as a dad. I mean, listening to my kids. I mean, you know, you can hear your kids, you can listen, but listen with your heart. Do you really have the intensity to listen to your kids? And I mean really listening. Putting aside your preconceived ideas, you might already have raced ahead to a decision without hearing what they really have to say. I mean, you might have heard what they had to say, but you didn't really hear what they had to say. So, and I, my whole life I had to work on this, because I have these preconceived ideas and yelling at the kids and not hearing what they really had to say. So that's really been a struggle for me, and those are the things I had.
Great. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate that very much. Well, you can do a lot of instructing over many years. Our kids still, as they grow up, have to make decisions. They've got to be responsible for those things. And just because you instruct them doesn't necessarily mean they're going to make the right decision. Dennis, share with us what you have.
It's tough going last. There'll be some repetition here, but hopefully you understand what I'm trying to share with you. I try to teach our children as much as we love them. God loves them even a lot more than we could. I remember when Nikki'd be out on a date and supposed to be home at 11 o'clock. At 5 to 11, I'd be standing at the window and pacing the floor, and I'd get a lot of ribbing because I'd be worried about when she's going to get home. Is she going to get home on time, or what's going to happen? Even Adam, a lot of times, would be pacing the floor. And looking back, it was just so wasteful to do that, knowing that God is in control and he loves him a lot more than we ever could. In 1 John 4:10, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Just knowing that God loves our kids so much. I encourage your fathers to know that. You can love them with all your heart, but know that God loves them even more. Another one was repeated before. God wants us to have strong, godly character. It's more important than any job we do or how much money we could ever make. I remember one time in school, Adam was in about third grade, and the teachers asked what their fathers did for a living. And Adam wrote down, my dad wanted to be a fireman or a policeman, but he's not. So. Guess he wasn't too impressed with the purchasing agent. I don't know. But anyhow, yeah, I told him that one time. I wanted to be a policeman, fireman, but he's not. So anyhow. But Proverbs 22:1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and a loving favor rather than silver or gold. Just remember, as Paul shared before, too, about character, some of the other guys. It takes a lifetime to build a character. In a moment, it can be lost and compromised. So fathers, be honest, be truthful, be faithful to your family and your wife especially. No matter what they have done, they can always come to us for unconditional love and acceptance. We also let the kids know that no matter what they did, sure, we'd have it out with them, they'd get disciplined, but we always give them a hug at the end, knowing that whatever happened, we were there for them 100% of the time. And when you think about it, look how much God has forgiven us as believers. He's forgiven everything. It's all behind us. And we have nothing but hope and glory ahead of us, knowing that God has forgiven us and He accepts us. Whereas taught them that our family was a safe haven away from the craziness of the world. Matter of fact, they'd come home at night and we'd be playing out in the yard with the kids, and all of a sudden there'd be a swarm of kids from the neighborhood. And we'd play, it was a game called Nylon. I don't know if you guys ever play that. But I'd put a nylon over my head and I'd chase the kids around the neighborhood and they'd go crazy. And that was a Friday night ritual right here in Adel. We did it for many years. I don't do that anymore, no. That's right. Yeah, no, you get in trouble for that. But they loved it. And the kids would come around, and we'd have more neighbors in our yard than we could count. But anyhow, our home was a safe haven. The other thing I'd encourage you guys to do, sometimes it costs money to spend time with your kids. One time, we inherited a little money, and so we thought, we got to put this to good use. So we put a pool in our backyard. And there was a reason for that. We could have the kids come to us rather than the kids run around the neighborhood. And there again, it was a chance to have many kids come in our yard. We could witness to them, just have a real clean, fun time with the kids and be a blessing to them. So don't be afraid to spend a little money if you get the opportunity to do that, to be a blessing to your kids. And the last thing but not least... As a dad, I always loved their mother. The bonds of marriage are meant to last a lifetime. And whereas many of our kids know that, sure, we'd have spats and fights and everything, but down deep, they knew we were dedicated and committed to each other for a lifetime, and that's the case today, too. So I'd encourage you men and men that are planning to get married, don't take it lightly. When you enter into marriage, God means it to be permanent. It's a long-lasting time. You're committed to each other, and you should show that to your kids. Sure, as we age, our attitudes change, our looks change, a lot of things around us change, but that commitment and our dedication to our life should not change. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Well, did you catch the common elements? What were a couple of them? We won't go too much. Modeling behavior. Praying. Love. Love them. Okay. Have that security. You know, as I was just sitting here thinking, and I hope you're convinced that you are the treasure that you can tap into and gain wisdom. There are at least 20 people here in the room that are over 50 years old. If my math is right, that's 1,000 years of experience. Am I not correct? Yeah. Okay. So, you don't have to go read books and go to seminars. You just ask your friends here. You heard what these guys shared with you this morning. And we've got many women who have tremendous experiences, and all of this can trickle through one another. You have it right here. You've got it in God's Word to do what you need to do. But let's be an encouragement to one another. And as fathers and mothers, and I know there's a number of single-parent people that are in our congregation as well, very important. They have some extra burdens that they carry and need some help with. You know, the modeling is extremely important at every level. But there's some probably decisions that you need to make this morning as to what you're doing, what you're going to change, what's really important. Remember, that rope is really long, and the time here is really short. So you need to get on it. Just like David told Solomon, be strong, be courageous, act. You got to do it now. You can't be waiting until such and such. It's not after, it's now. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the treasure that you've given to us because of Jesus Christ. And in him, all riches of wisdom and knowledge exist. And Lord, the fact that you live in us, you have given us those riches. You've given a wealth of experience to our congregation. And Father, may we use it to your glory. Help us to be able to tell the stories that you have impressed us with over the years, the good and the bad, that we might be able to leave our children and grandchildren and our friends with hearts of wisdom, that they might walk in your ways all the days of their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think because of the time, and we don't want the donuts to get